Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Blue Star Limited Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call. We have with us today from the management, Mr. B. Thiagarajan, Managing Director, Blue Star Limited, and Mr. Nikhil Sohoni, Group Chief Financial Officer, Blue Star Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. B. Thiagarajan. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to join this particular briefing from Blue Star Limited for the Q4 FY24 results and FY24 consolidated results. You might have seen the results declared yesterday after the board meeting, and we are happy to report that, as in the past, we have closed the financial year on a high note with an impressive performance in Q4 FY24. As you may recall, the financial year began with huge expectations during the summer season of 2023, but then, due to rains, it was a quarter that was impacted. But even then, Q1, we exceeded or outperformed the market estimates. From then on, Q2 and Q3, you have seen our results. It was an all-round performance, both in B2B businesses as well as B2C businesses. During the financial year, our investments continued in manufacturing capacity expansion as well as research and development and marketing and distribution. Of significant importance is our QIP fundraising amounting to 1,000 crore for funding the growth. We are happy to inform that the financial year FY25 also has begun with huge demand, unprecedented demand in the room air conditioners category due to ongoing summer season. I will hand it over to Nikhil for an update on Q4 FY24 and FY24 financial performance, and post that, we will be happy to answer your queries. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thiagarajan. So good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Nikhil Sohoni, and I will be providing you an overview of the results of Blue Star Limited for quarter ended March 2024. Coming to financial highlights, the company ended FY24 on a high note with a revenue growth of 21.4%, operating profit growth of 34.9%, a record carry-forward order book amounting to rupees 5,697.3 crores against FY23 position of rupees 5,073.2 crores, and a strong balance sheet. In an all-round performance, all businesses performed well, gaining market share, and the company improved its operating margins by 70 basis points. In FY24, we have reported an operating margin of 6.9% versus 6.2% in FY23. The company continues to invest for future growth with a focus on research and development, manufacturing, sales and distribution, digitalization, talent development, and capability building. Coming to quarter ended March 31, 2024, financial highlights for the quarter ended on a consolidated basis are summarized as follows. Revenue from operations for quarter four FY24 grew 26.8% to 3,327.8 crores as compared to rupees 2,623.8 crores in quarter four of last year. EBITDA for quarter FY24 is rupees 241.9 crores and margin of 7.3% as compared to rupees 179.2 crores EBITDA margin of 6.8% reported in Q4 of last year. PBT before exceptional items grew 46.4% to rupees 214.1 crore in Q4 of the current year as compared to rupees 146.3 crores in the Q4 of last year. Coming to year-end results, on a consolidated basis, the revenue from operations for FY24 grew 21.4% to rupees 9,685.4 crores as compared to rupees 7,977.3 crores in the corresponding last year. In EBITDA, if you look at excluding other income for FY24, it improved to rupees 664.9 crores, a margin of 6.9% of revenue, as compared to rupees 492.8 crores, margin of 6.2% of revenue in FY23, recording a growth of 34.9%, mainly due to impact of scale. PBT before exceptional items grew 44.9% to rupees 557.2 crores in FY24 as compared to rupees 384.6 crores in FY23. Tax expense for FY24 was rupees 142.8 crores as compared to rupees 154.7 crores in FY23. The effective tax rate was 25.7% in FY24 as compared to rupees 27.9% in FY23. Net profit for FY24 grew to rupees 414.3 crores, that is 4.3% of revenue, as compared to rupees 261.49 crores, 3.3% of revenue, and this is excluding the profit on sale of Thane land, which was reported as an exceptional income last year. In view of the record revenue and profits earned by the company, a dividend of rupees 7 per share against rupees 6 per share declared in FY23 is recommended by the board of directors of the company. This figure for FY23 is adjusted for bonus of 1:1. The carry forward order book as of March 31, 2024 grew by 12.3% to 5,697.3 crores as compared to 5,073.3 crores as of March 31, 2023. Capital employed as of March 31, 24 stood at 2,156.7 crores as compared to rupees 1,542.3 crores as of March 31, 2023, primarily owing to capital investments. In September 23, company completed a successful fundraise of rupees 1,000 crores through its maiden QIP issuance, which witnessed strong response from existing and new marquee foreign portfolio investors, sovereign wealth funds, and top domestic institutional investors. In June 23, the company had issued bonus shares in the ratio of 1:1, that is one bonus equity share of rupees 2 each for every fully paid equity share of rupees 2 each. On the back of a strong operating cash flows coupled with QIP inflows, the company reported a net cash position of 455.9 crores as compared to as of March 31, 2024, as compared to a net borrowing of rupees 208.4 crores as of March 31, 2023. Coming to business highlights, segment 1, that is electromechanical projects and commercial air conditioning systems. Revenue grew 20.3% to rupees 1,506 crores in Q4 FY24 as compared to rupees 1,252.6 crores in Q4 FY23. Segment result was rupees 112.5 crores, 7.5% of revenue in Q4 of FY24 as compared to rupees 99.2 crores, that is 7.9% of revenue in Q4 FY23. Segment revenue for the year grew 17.4% to rupees 4,715.5 crores as compared to rupees 4,015.6 crores in FY23. Segment result was rupees 341.1 crores, 7.2% of revenue in FY24 compared to rupees 276.8 crores, which was 6.9% of revenue in FY23. Order inflow for the quarter reduced by 7.8% to rupees 1,226.8 crores
as compared to rupees 1,329.9 crores in Q4 FY23. This was on account of delay in finalization of orders. Coming to electromechanical project business, driven by strong demand from manufacturing, data centers and infrastructure segments, the business continues to do well with improved margins and healthy order book. The demand from commercial buildings and real estate sectors are yet to take off. We continue to be focused on prudent project management and healthy cash flows. During the year, quite a few major orders were received from factories, data centers and infrastructure segment, and the carried forward order book for the business stood at rupees 4,343.8 crores as of March 31, 2024, and this compares to rupees 3,892.9 crores as of March 31, 2023, a growth of 11.6%. Coming to commercial air conditioning systems, the revenue growth was majorly driven by its product portfolio and channel expansion. The growth is driven by demand from industrial, healthcare, hospitality, retail, educational institutions, and data centers. The launch of VRF Lite has enabled the company to address the premium residential segment. The inquiries and demand for newly launched centrifugal chiller remain strong, and we continue to maintain our number one position in conventional and inverted ducted air conditioning systems as well as crawl chillers, and strong second position in VRF and screw chillers. Coming to international business, due to global disturbances, international business, which is at a nascent stage, saw a subdued performance. We are focused on product exports and hence we are investing in R&D to expand our product portfolio. Our subsidiaries in US and Europe are engaging with customers and we expect the business to pick up traction soon. Segment 2, that is unitary product segment, the revenue grew 34.8% to Rs. 1,708.9 crores in Q4 FY24 as compared to Rs. 1,267.7 crores in Q4 of FY23. Segment results improved to Rs. 141.4 crores, which is 8.3% of revenue in the current Q4 of FY24, as compared to Rs. 106.9 crores, which was 8.4% of revenue in Q4 of FY23. Revenue for the year grew 26.6% to 4,592.2 crores in FY24, as compared to Rs. 3,626.9 crores in FY23. Consequently, segment results improved to Rs. 360.3 crores, which is 7.8% of the revenue in FY24 as compared to rupees 282.31 crores, which was also 7.8% of the revenue in FY23. In cooling and purification products business, which is part of the unitary products, momentum gained during festive season in Q3 FY24 was further blasted by a stellar performance in Q4 of FY24. The exceptional strong demand in the southern region and the product diversification, especially with the range of affordable room ACs, helped us surpass the milestone of 1 million units. Our market share during the year improved and is estimated to be at 13.75% compared to 13.5% in FY23. The launch of new inverter split air conditioners under flagship model like heavy duty ACs and super energy efficient ACs aided substantial revenue growth. It is anticipated that with enhanced product range and prevailing hot summer weather conditions, the growth momentum will continue in Q1 of FY25. Coming to commercial refrigeration business, the commercial refrigeration business witnessed excellent traction in the quarter with strong demand witnessed from OEMs, hospitals, offices and educational institutions. Increase in outside the home consumption remains one of the major drivers of the business growth, especially in the perishable food sector. Blue Star became the first Indian company to receive India Design Mark for its 300 and 600 liters deep freezers and also got a BIS certification as well for deep freezers. We continue to maintain our leadership position in deep freezers, storage water coolers and modular cold rooms. Coming to segment 3, that is professional electronics and industrial systems, the revenue grew 8.3% to 112.1 crore in Q4 FY24. As compared to Rs. 104.5 crores in Q4 FY23. segment result was rupees 13.6 crores, which is 12.1% of revenue in Q4 of FY24, as compared to rupees 19.8 crores, which was 19.2% of revenue in Q4 FY23. Segment revenue for the year grew by 12.8% to rupees 377.7 crores, as compared to rupees 334.8 crores in FY23. Segment result was rupees 51.5 crores, which is 13.6% of revenue in FY24, as compared to rupees 50.5 crores, which was 15.1% of revenue in FY23. The market for non-destructive testing business has grown due to Make in India related capacity expansion, as well as the introduction of high quality standards and specifications in various industries. The healthcare business is benefiting from expansion of countries' semi-rural healthcare infrastructure and increased investments. The data security business continues to face challenges as customers move from on-premise IT infrastructure to the cloud. Coming to business outlook, robust demand across business and geographies, buoyant festive season, new product launches and hotter weather conditions enabled us to end the year on a high note with healthy revenue growth and margin profile. We continue to invest in expansion of our distribution network, enhance R&D and manufacturing capabilities to strengthen our brand recognition in the market. The company continues to be acknowledged by the Government of India for adopting greener technologies that are ahead of its curve, leading to sustainable growth. In FY25, the company will continue its focus on maintaining and improving margins, prudent cash management, and effective talent management. Given the weather forecast, projecting a robust summer ahead with our new and resilient product portfolio and focus on aforementioned key levels, we are optimistic about the business prospects for Q1 FY25 in particular and FY25 in general. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm done with my opening remarks. I would like to now pass it back to the moderator, who will open the floor to questions. We'll try and answer as many questions as we can, and to the extent we are unable to, we'll get back to you via email. With that, we are open for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, wait for the moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and congratulations for a good set of numbers. Sir, we've seen a very strong quarter, and as the year has also, you know, for the quarter we've seen 35% growth, and for the year we've seen a 27% growth for the UCPL segment. Sir, how would have the RAC segment growth and the commercial refrigeration business would have grown? Can you please split that for us?
I think I am participating in the call for now 20 years, I think. The problem is this. I can empathize with the investors, with regard to this requirement of the breakup there. So what are all there? There is room air conditioners, very negligible volume of water purifiers, air coolers. Then you have got commercial refrigeration products, which are water coolers, deep freezers, and cold rooms. Now, it becomes a selective disclosure. So I am really not able to solve this problem. Now, the another answer, we decide to restate the complete thing. Then it will make sense for, but if I were you, I will be going by what is my market share in room air conditioners, and what is the room air conditioner market size. That is the only way you will be able to guess that. I don't want to get into a selective disclosure. So you have to bear with us for this. Internally also we keep discussing this, that whether some point of a time we should go ahead and break that up. See, in our internal MIS and other things, there is also constraints we have, because the factories serve multiple businesses. There is the brand related and there are common dealers, and this has been the constraint. Originally we conceived it on that basis. There is a EPC part of it and package air conditioning, which are commercial air conditioning there. Then we kept this. As we grow, both the businesses are growing, and whether at some point of a time we will give a breakup, we'll see. Just go by room air conditioners, our market share. That will then guide you that what portion of that is room air conditioners, what portion is commercial refrigeration.
Sure.
Profitability wise, you need not worry. Both are same kind of profitability they enjoy.
Got it, sir. Sir, as you mentioned that, you know, we're seeing a very strong summer and a very strong demand. What is your estimate that, you know, the industry will see a growth in 1Q of FY25 and potentially in FY as a year as a whole? And number two related question is that, you know, with the recent increase in raw material prices, have we taken any price hikes either in 4Q or in 1Q so far?
So I'll deal with the price. Fortunately, because the demand is good, prices are holding. Between Q4 and Q1, there has not been any price increase. We launched the new products from January, and we have announced the prices and the schemes, so that is holding on. So there is no change in that. I don't think in the market also you are seeing any kind of a massive price disruptions. That's there. Whether we are increasing the prices because the demand is huge and there are shortages in pockets, I don't think so. Because it will be, that has not been the principle Blue Star has been operating. Just because we if there is huge demand and shortage, we should go ahead and increase. So that's not happening. Now, coming to market projection. So from January, February onwards, I have been saying the market can grow anywhere between 20 to 25%. We want to grow between 25 to 30%. That was my outlook. Now going back, even in March, that is what we thought till March 4th week. There was a huge surge in demand from the dealers, and despite the fact that there is ongoing election season, due to which in the past we have seen in 2019 as well as 2014, mm-hmm. and we were not anticipating that kind of demand. The March to March alone, my estimate is, the market would have grown, or the primary sales would have grown by around 40%. Now, April, my estimate, I may be wrong, I do not have the full picture, but my estimate is the market would have, say for primary sales of April alone, would have grown between 65 to 75%. And if you take the secondary sales, because March last week enough material was there, I think anywhere between 70 to 90% growth would have been there in secondary treasury sales in the month of April. Okay. Now, second part, the peak had been May month. It moved to May 15th. The peak over the years, I'm saying, it moved to May 1st week, the April last week. Now, I have a feeling that it is people are, because there is a huge consumer finance and other facilities available, and the people are going ahead and buying ahead. So it is quite likely that April it has peaked. My own team may not like it. The industry may not like it. I have a feeling May demand may be lower than April. It may be unrealistic to expect that there is again around 70% kind of a demand growth in May, and then it will be June, July like that. Now, keeping all this in mind, whether 25 to 30% growth holds good, I think it may be better than that when the summer eventually ends. And but equally, we are not believing at this moment the growth can be summer to summer. That is, take March to July, March to July this year. No, the last year is not comparable anyway. If you take the normal summer year, it will be a 50% growth. We are not yet believing. It will be better than 30% for the full summer season. If you take Q1 alone, I think it can be 30 to 40% growth is my view. It can. We have to wait for May 15th to revise that. But over the years, my experience is it starts off like that. You would have seen last year reports. There was a report by an industry association and some of the players that it is going to be 90% growth. Market will double this summer. It didn't happen. So broadly, the summer has set in early and people have advanced their purchases. It will keep coming down, is my view. But April, primary sales itself witnessed around 65% growth, and secondary tertiary would have been anywhere between 70 to 90. Keeping in mind the material was there in the last week or delivered in the last week of March, and there are shortages in quite a few pockets.
Got it. So, sir, I mean, given this scenario, do we expect margin profile to improve? You know, this year also, if you see the segment sales has been growing by about 27%, but our margins have pretty much held on at 7.8%. Do you think that this can possibly improve to 8.5-9% into FY25, given the strong demand that we see?
At this juncture, we have another many 11 months to go. There will be many twists and turns, all will take place. The important event will be the union budget. Important decisions will be made in terms of supply chain. What are the items that will be brought under QCO? Like copper QCO was there, time was extended. There is PCB related announcements are expected. So in a business there are many moving parts. All this will happen. But broadly, we are of the view that it can be around 8.5%. That is the thing that we are working with.
Sure, sir. I'll come back in the question queue. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to 2 questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Nitin Arora from Axis Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Just on the profitability of the UCP segment, can you answer this first? For this quarter, when you are growing at 34%, last quarter we grew 36%, our margins are like 7.1 and 8.3. Even in absolute EBIT growth, you're matching your revenue growth. Can you first throw some light why this is happening? Because, I mean, either there is no zero operational leverage in the business, or we are trying to be more aggressive, which doesn't argue well. I mean, you yourself saying industry has a very good tailwind right now because of the summer season. Can you just clarify why such low profitability?
Thank you for your question. But given the outlook that we had indicated, I don't think one should be unhappy. Where are you getting that? We had given an outlook. Correct. And the so where is that coming from?
Sir, outlook was given. So for example, let's say, even I don't think that when the outlook was given, you would not be expecting that Q4 will be a 35% growth, right? So my question is not on related to what has been the outlook versus what is given. Obviously, it's in your guidance range. But nobody knew in January that March and April would be such heat season, and you're yourself saying.
April has not come into picture. March alone has come into picture.
Exactly, exactly. So you're growing at 35%.
You are talking about Q4 to Q4 margin of segment two?
Yes, sir.
The segment two standalone margin for Q4, what is the figure?
8.3%.
8.3%. Okay. Now.
Yes, sir.
You may ask compared with this for this huge revenue growth, why it is not. You have to note that a huge advertising expenses has been there in Q4, right? Because the IPL started, advertising campaign started. If the material is moving out to the primary channel, you have to support it with advertising. So there is an advertising expense surge in that quarter. Okay? Now, the right way to compare in a good summary here is Q1 margin, you have to look at it, and Q4 margin, you have to look at it, and that gives a broad indication of how the full year will be. Now, last year, in FY24, Q1 is not the quarter to be accounted for segment two because it is a washout summer season. In Q4, volume surge, equally, we have incurred advertising expense. It's not due to pricing or margin. It is the operating margin, the cost has come in.
Is ad expense optically very high deliberately in Q4? Because that would be every Q4, right? So is this Q4 was quite high?
Not necessary at all. It is like, for example, it depends on how you are if you are going to be in IPL and substantial number of matches are happening in IPL and the package that you have got is that way, it can. And because of the elections, IPL number of matches and number of matches in which we were there would have been high. Advertising expenses of this Q4 is very high.
Got it. Got it.
And again, you have to look at it that in Q3, it was 7.1%. So it is at 8.3% against 7.1% in Q3, which was also a good quarter.
No, he's asking about the operating leverage, and he's assuming that the cost will remain the same. The additional quantity sold in March would have substantially improved the margin. In Q3, there was no advertising expenses. That comes in Q4. That is a problem this year, especially.
Got it. So just second question is on the export side because I think we're doing a lot of R&D there as well. When do you start seeing ramp-up of the export business and any targets in mind over the next 2 years, how big this can become? That's my last question. Thank you.
Yeah. See, I think it will be at least 18 months. We are executing some trial orders, and then U.S., Europe, there had been a slowdown. And it is reviewed as it is good for us because it will give us time to develop our products. And the U.S. market is expected to pick up only in the coming year post the elections. I don't think before election you will see U.S. ramping up with the we are not selling the regular air conditioners, air conditioning solutions. It is decarbonization, energy efficiency, improvement-related products. And therefore, the regulations and the brands there will have to ramp up. So there are trial orders. Trial orders are being executed. Necessary approvals are being obtained. And it is in 18 months, it should ramp up. Whether we have internal targets, we do have internal targets because if we are investing, we should be having tight targets closely monitored by the board.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for taking my question and congrats on a good set of numbers, sir. My question is with respect to the first segment. The order inflow kind of has seen a bit of decline over the past 2 quarters. And I think for the full year also it had been kind of slightly subdued compared to the last year. How do you see the industry, how the industry would have grown in FY24 over last year, and how is it likely to grow? Which are the subsegments which are promising in terms of growth, and why the softness for us? Are we kind of a bit conservative in taking orders? You had mentioned that there were some kind of finalizations, the delays which were there. Will we see a better lumpy kind of orders flowing in post-elections? If you can throw your thought process on this, it will be great, sir.
Thank you. I think you are the only person who monitors this other than Blue Star Management. Your questions are valid. We have been seeing a slowdown in some of the segments. Basically, the commercial building segment, there has been delay. Some of the infrastructure projects also, there is a delay. And our understanding is that post-elections, it should pick up. And there are enough tenders, and the openings of the tender negotiations and finalization of commercial terms, these are all getting delayed. The growth primarily is now driven by the manufacturing and data centers, and so therefore those orders cannot compensate for large infrastructure projects. This is the first answer. Second one is that you are very clearly aware that we are not chasing the market share there at all. We are very clear that it should be free cash flows and how timely execution will take place to the extent possible. And industry it will be the same. It's not that there is some new player to whom we are losing the orders. It's not so. And it should revive sometime in Q2. Again, our direction here is there is no point in sitting on huge record carried forward order book. It doesn't help in any manner at all. In fact, it is dangerous to be having a huge order book, because while you may have price escalations, you may not get everything out there. And so we are now focusing on A, data center manufacturing, that kind of projects, wait for the infra projects to get the order finalization cycle to begin. In the meanwhile, expediting the speed of execution and collection.
Okay. And is there a mix in terms of our advantage as of now, like certain subsegments like data center or manufacturing, which carry better, do they carry better margins than the overall average, and because of that profitability, which is like 7%, can go back to 10%, which we used to do in 10, 11, 12, and all? Is there a possibility of that happening, keeping in mind the competitive dynamics?
So three parts. Number one is, Are the jobs of manufacturing data center are more profitable? It will be for the simple reason they are fast track execution projects, and therefore it should be compared with the infra projects, which is 3 years, 2.5 years, like the metro railway or water airports and all that. And obviously the answer is yes. And the second part is connected with the segments. Some point of a time we couldn't do this in this particular con call. We will try to give a breakup of comparison of last year as well as this year, key segments what has been. We will provide that in the subsequent quarter when we engage with you for the Q1 results. We will indicate that. The margin, I do not think it can be 10% at all, even though there is significant amount of package air conditioning, that the VRF, ducted, chiller, that part, the manufacturing and sales service part is part of segment one. Even mm-hmm. then, I do not think so. Because the EPC business, it can only be a 4 to 5% EBITDA. Yeah, it is pushed up because of the manufacturing and service elements that come in that segment.
Understood, sir. Thanks a lot.
So our outlook for that segment remains 7 to 7.5%.
And growth-wise,
segment 1 is 7 to 7.5%, segment 2 is 8 to 8.5%. In a good summer year, it may be around 8.5%.
Okay. And growth for the first segment, how do you envision that next 2 years?
We are working towards at least this financial year, we are attempting to grow the revenue by 25%. Internally, that's what we are working towards. We don't know what will happen. That is our aspiration. I am of the view that the segment 2, there is no problem. The growth should be in a good summer year. Full year growth should exceed 20%. So we should do better than that. Segment 1, there is enough order book. Order inflow should come in. And given that, see, they are selective, that market size is huge, the number of projects that are happening. So it may not be difficult to do 20% growth even in segment 1.
Understood. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Patni from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. Sir, in line with what I think Nitin had asked earlier, we are seeing one of the largest players in the sector being extremely aggressive in terms of pricing. And that is something we've heard across the board. Is that something that is having a bearing on profitability? So, you know, since volume numbers are so much better, we understand you are spending on advertisement. But is that also an element which A, has kept the margins under check despite such strong volume growth? And as we look at the first quarter of this year, which again you are indicating is very, very strong in terms of volumes, could the margins for you and the broader industry be under check because of one player going very aggressive?
So thank you for the question. For a particular quarter or a particular season, the answer may be something different, okay? Like for example, in a huge summer season where there are shortages, pricing may not be an issue at all, okay, for anybody. Now, this has to be taken as, strategically, given the fact that India is the largest, India is a market with huge potential. India is the fastest growing market. India's penetration levels will more than double in the next 3 years to 4 years. And by 2045 or 47, India has the potential to overtake China. In that backdrop, for the room air conditioners business, you can plot what is the demand growth, how the competitive landscape is likely to pan out, what is the manufacturing capacities that will be created, already existing in under investment, what will be created, what are the supply chain constraints, what are the competitive things and the gaps. If you keep that in mind and going by certain other information that is available from other durables, like what happened in refrigerators or washing machines, for example, or two-wheelers, automobiles, you can easily conclude that the demand growth is given. You need not worry about it at all. There may be a bad summer in between. That's fair enough. Demand will continue to grow. Second, the growth is driven by aspirational middle class. Clear. There are the cost structure is impacted by a few other things which is not applicable for other categories. Like, for example, once in 2 years, a energy labeling upgrade. The refrigerant-related regulations that are supposed to come in. The highly seasonal nature of the product, therefore the inventory that you have to hold or the manufacturing capacity utilization throughout the year. Extended obligation for the e-waste. Consumer finance at its peak, like 55% of the sales happening through consumer finance. If you keep all those elements, and the advertising that is needed for occupying the share of mind, and after knowing which are the markets which are beginning to grow in a big way, like tier 3, 4, 5, I am of the opinion that it is a market with a 8.5% operating margin. I do not think it is a 10.5%, 11% operating margin market at all. I'm keeping in mind all the durables what market they are making. Okay. Now, one may say extensive backward integration is happening, and therefore, but then you have to make again R&D investments and many other things, learning curve, etc. are there before you are able to improve. But then in a growing market, the competition will also be interested in growing their market share. And I do not see anybody being shaken out and thrown, because in every country the players are there, it is known. Now, in that backdrop of it is 8.5, if we are lucky it can go to 9 at some point of a time. I do not think so. 9 is possible, is my view. In that context, somebody is pricing lower in one particular year, somebody is gaining market share, somebody is losing market share. We are indifferent to that. We will go ahead and tactically price in some markets, but we are very clear that profitably you have to grow the business. And we know eventually it will settle down. If we are to be getting into the game of that, I will drop the prices to gain the market share. One quarter, two quarter, it may happen. It does not yield result. I historically, I am not seeing an evidence. Somebody dropped the prices. You can change the game through a product or technology. And lastly, I don't think we have that culture at all. Our direction is very clear. We know what the potential revenue possible in this market, what is the margin possible. Within that, set our goals.
So can I ask one more?
Yeah.
So my second question is, we've for a long time waited for that J curve in India's AC demand. I mean, if you look at the last 10-12 years, despite some good, some bad summers, as an industry, we've grown at that early 12-13% kind of rate. Do you think we are at that stage where we are either already hit or hitting that J curve, where that growth rate could be much faster? I mean, I'm saying, keeping in consideration the strong real estate demand we are seeing, the low penetrations. I mean, are you of the view this is still an industry that will grow between 12-14% on a normalized basis, or we could see a five-year period where we could grow faster?
Much, much higher is my view. It is going to explode in the next 5 years.
And why is that?
It will explode. It is exactly like in China what happened post 2005. And it will be a very high growth market for this category.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Arthur, thanks for taking my question. So I had a question on the VRF segment. So you have seen that a lot of premium housing projects have been launched and seeing good traction there. So is the trend of VRS being installed, something that you are seeing, something that we've also seen in the developed markets? And how should we think about this category growth in the next 4 or 5 years? And also, if you could just talk a little bit about the competitive dynamics there. Thanks.
Which segment?
VRS, right?
Yeah. So the where the VRF comes into play, VRF comes into play for a very high energy efficiency in a commercial establishment. In a residential segment, if it is an apartment, which, first of all, let us understand it. In India, residential segment is far bigger than the commercial segment. Unlike certain other markets where the commercial segment can be much, much larger. Now, the calculations will show, keeping in mind the energy labeling program and the energy efficiencies that we have achieved, if you are looking at a 3-bedroom apartment, a 5-star inverter installed in 3 bedrooms will have the potential to deliver more energy efficiency than a VRF. If you are to look at the cost, because that market size is huge and therefore the price levels that are operating, again, room air conditioners, 5-star, 1.5-ton installed. In this particular example of a 3-bedroom plus hall, that will pay back faster. If you are to look at the ease of operation, in a Indian home, I think all bedrooms, hall are not occupied and it is limited usage in the halls or the dining area or the living room. We are not seeing any kind of a great advantage. I'm going purely by the calculations of payback, given that it is a developing market and it is driven by aspirational middle class. It will not make commercial sense yet in the residential space because of the price levels at which 5-star, 1.5-ton air conditioners are available. But having said that, there are customers who need sophistication and who are looking for different kinds of solutions. And these may be even larger homes beyond 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom. VRF is an application. So this is about residential part of it. And commercial part of it, definitely VRF provides far superior benefits in terms of energy savings, given that they are all 18 hours, 24 hours, 20-hour applications. And most importantly, compared with the central air conditioning, the installation lead time is very, very faster. You know, there is no ducting, insulation, so many other things takes place. Generally, a VRF installation can be done very, very faster. And therefore, VRF will continue to grow, but not necessarily like a room air conditioner. In India, the market size will be far lower compared with residential application.
Got it, sir. And sir, I have a question on commercial refrigeration. I think in your opening remarks, you mentioned that that segment has done very well. So just wanted to understand, till when do we have the import substitution tailwind, the BIS related tailwind that, you know, that we saw? Have the imports substantially dropped, or do you think that next 2 or 3 years we'll continue to grow at a very healthy pace here? Thanks. Those are my questions.
I think it has fully stopped. There is the stopped in the sense that there is a QCO regime and in that QCO regime to go and get approval, and those QCO approvals are of limited validity period. So it is not practically you have to be doing it here. There are only very few categories which are all less than 25 crore market size. It may be some wine cooler and some esoteric applications, or it may be connected with some healthcare related refrigeration product specialty. Otherwise, the entire deep freezer segment has moved to localization. There may be players who are getting some sub-assemblies and trying to put together something. That may be an inefficient way of doing that is our view. It is like room air conditioners, where you are importing some specialty air conditioners from outside. Here again, that's what is happening. It is fully stopped.
Got it, sir. And sir, just had a small question on unallocable expenses in the segmental piece, right? So we've seen a lot of variation quarter on quarter, year on year. So can you just clarify a little bit on that? Thank you.
I think they want you to come back on the queue. They are taking just two questions, I think.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupam Goswami from Third Life. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sir, my first question on the overall strategy-wise, where do you think Blue Star market share is, and how do you gain market share from here, let's say from the Korean players? Is there a strategy to look and expand market share in that premium segment?
No, my first part is that I suppose you are looking at room air conditioners. The second part is you are looking at the category as a whole. It's not premium alone. I do not have within premium what is our market share. I do not have that part of it within room air conditioners. But the thing is, in room air conditioners, our estimate is that it's 13.75%. It may be slightly higher than that, but it is what it is. And we believe we gained market share even in FY24. And going forward, we had stated that we would like to reach a market share of around 15% in FY24. So the clock has begun. And let us see. The gaining market share has been one of the important goals, and every year from 2011 we have gained market share. So let us see.
So our strategy is to look gain market share in the premium segment or more in the affordable segment?
I am talking about the full category. Their growth is driven only by affordable segment. Premium segment is growing, but that is not going to, you know, if you have to gain market share, you have to address the bottom of the pyramid. It's all, you know, 65% of sale is from tier 3, 4, 5 markets.
Okay. So lastly, do we face any competition from Daikin, they being producing more affordable ACs now? Do we face any threat from them? That's it.
We face competition from everyone, including Daikin. I won't use the word threat. Competition is supposed to be there in a growing market. We face competition from everyone.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll join back.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjaya Satpati from Ampersand. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity and such a strong market share gain as well as growth. So my question is can you just give us a flavor of the space that the company is taking to improve the qualitative aspect of its products? Because whenever I am going and checking out in places like Amazon and other places, I kind of see a mixed signal in terms of quality of the company's product.
I am not sure. By going to Amazon, how will you understand the quality? You may be talking about whether the product is entry level, product is premium, product is, next generation. I am not sure you will be able to judge whether the product quality is good or wrong. If you have come across, please let me know. It is impossible to be assessing. Now, on the other hand, if there are some customers who have posted about the delivery or something other than the customer rating, we do monitor, and it is negligible. When you are crossing some 1.1 million of air conditioners, there will be complaints, but it is negligible. So we are very clear that the products will have to be of world class quality, that is, and reliability. These are strong pillars forming part of our business operations. If you come across, please let us know. To the extent today, hour to hour, what is the installations that are happening, in the summer season, whether we are able to install within one day, the time is getting extended because of huge demand or unprecedented demand. And during summer season, the number of calls may be also high. This is monitored round the clock, hour to hour. I get a report on the pending installations, pending calls, and which location. So, if there are, I would request you to let us know. But on the other hand, by going to Amazon, you saw a entry-level product. You use the word mixed signals. Is there a product comparison? It depends on a particular day strategy out there, or I'm pushing some particular model in that strategy, that could be. But on the whole, I do not think we are reasonably sure, because these are, even the third parties have been engaged to certify that. Our products will never be second to anyone at all. That we make sure.
Thanks a lot, sir, for clarifying. An additional thing that I just wanted to hear your views, that when Blue Star came into this unitary product, it kind of gave a clear message that you are getting office kind of comfort at home. And now that you are getting into more and more entry product, but overall as a brand, are you really going to be positioned more of a premium brand and aspirational brand, or you are getting a bit of a mass product where you will be catering to almost everything?
In 2015 itself, we moved out of that office cooling for the simple reason. The entire 3, 4, 5 markets, office itself may not exist, right? They won't be able to relate to office like cooling. We had migrated to different value propositions, that it is a fast cooling AC. And we were only in premium, we went to affordable premium, and now we are in premium, affordable premium, and affordable. And if you have to grow, you have to be in all the three segments. So we are there in all.
Understood. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Natasha Jain from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
The opportunity. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I have two questions. First question is, I understand that Blue Star gave 18-month comprehensive warranty from 1st of March, I think, until 30th April. And that has significantly contributed to your 4Q volumes. Now, 80 months is close to almost an entire replacement cycle for an RAC. So, sir, I want to understand what kind of warranty cost should we be looking at as a result of this, and any kind of conversion, mathematical conversion, you can broadly say in terms of one unit of RAC sold entail to what percentage of ASP as a probable warranty cost down the line.
I don't pay attention to this particular subject at all for the simple reason. This is a one-time for the 80th year. So all these goes on in the market. Some stabilizer free, the installation fee, so on and so forth. But somebody has to pay for it. The company has to cost for this. This is connected with Blue Star completed 80 years on September 27, 2023. Connected with that, when we launched the new product, there was a huge demand that there are two demands. One is there a 80th year edition? If it is a 75th year, there was a Platinum Jubilee edition. If it is a centenary, there will be a special edition centenary product. There is no edition product, but whether you will be able to make some consumer offer. So as a part of that, their way, like for example, pay rupee 80 and take home an air conditioner or 80 installments, you will be able to get it, or it is a 80-month warranty, like that. So it is a one-time offer which is over already. It is not. But as far as the warranty cost policy is concerned, it is based on the past data, what is the number of units that were sold and what has been in the field as a population, and within that, what is the cost incurred. Based on that calculation, for the future sales, provisions are made. This could be the potential warranty expenses. And this is continuously monitored by the auditor. Now, it is also kept in mind what the industry is doing. Now, whether our sales went up because of this, I do not think so. There was a general demand. It is a one-time offer.
Understood, sir. And just one last question. So what I understand is specifically on the MT channel side, now MT wants to stock more of non-seasonal brands. And when I say non-seasonal, I mean brands like LG, Samsung, Haier and Havells, who have presence across white goods category and they sell throughout the year. Now, while our strategy is to be an HVAC-focused player, so do you think such a changing trend can impact a seasonal brand like us, and how do you read this in the medium to long term? That's it. Thank you so much.
So compared with any other player, I think we are less seasonal to that extent because we are in B2B space and we are a strong B2B player. See, our pedigree is B2B, right? Our share of market in institutional will exceed 30%. And whether it is an office, whether it is a restaurant, whether it is a shop, whether it is a boutique, whether it is the airport, whether it is an ATM, we are present every day. The specific question of room air conditioners has a summer skew which is common for all companies.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhananjay from Ax Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Most of my questions are answered. Congratulations, firstly, on the fantastic set of results. Just a quick... On the UCP part, which is non-RAC, how do we see that in, let's say, the next 3 to 5 years in terms of growth? Would that be something would be even larger than RAC in growth-wise, or how would that be?
CRBG. So the commercial refrigeration in a developed country can be as large as room air conditioners market. Okay, first point.
Market size or market volume?
Market size, because it is driven by the volume, right? So the question is, in a developed country, the commercial refrigeration market size can be as high as room air conditioning. Today, the room air conditioning market size may be around 24,000 crores or so. It can be, but whereas today in India, that market is only some 5,000 crores, commercial refrigeration.
Okay.
The second part is it is highly fragmented. It can be a water cooler, it can be a deep freezer, it can be a dispenser, it can be an ice cuber, it can be a cold room, it can be a ripening chamber. And there are multiple categories here. So therefore, it can be different. It is dependent on the individual consumption level. Like US consumes a lot of ice in everything. So the ice cuber is a very huge market globally. Like that, you know. Now the third insight is that India is India's population is very huge. India's homes are smaller in size, and therefore room air conditioner market will continue to grow. That we are only at 7 to 8% penetration level. It will continue to grow, and it is in India the frozen food consumption, processed food consumption is negligible. And locally, quite a few vegetables, foods are available. And in the process, the commercial refrigeration penetration will take a longer time. But because the base is smaller, it will continue to grow anywhere at 20 to 25% every year.
Okay, so that growth will also be as strong as what we are.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. And would we ever look at maybe acquiring other players to grow our market share in these segments who have a foothold from before?
I do not think so. That is, we don't need that at this moment. We are well placed.
Okay, fine. Thank you, sir. Congratulations again.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as that was the last question for the day, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Nikhil Sohoni for closing comments.
So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. With this, we conclude this quarter's earning call. Do feel free to revert to us in case any of your questions are not fully answered, and we'll be happy to provide you additional details by email or in person. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Blue Star Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.